Welcome to the Skinny Podcast, where we talk all things dermatology. I'm Carol Nicotero Ward.
And I'm Terry Rudd.
Before we get started, we want to remind you that our monthly podcast is available on iTunes. Search for us using the keywords The Skinny, Dermatology, and subscribe for free. Now, on to the news. In this month's program, we'll learn how lasers are revolutionizing the treatment of leg veins.
Dermatologists share their perspectives on the FDA's iPledge program.
And we'll offer a few good reasons to keep patient credit cards on file.
Then, cosmetic counter host Dr. Lily Talakoub talks about the pros and cons of mineral makeups.
And Dr. Alan Rockoff explains why being honest on your taxes can pay off later. We begin with a story about the use of endovenous lasers to treat vascular leg lesions. The new treatments are replacing traditional surgery involving ligation and vein stripping, thus avoiding the hospitalizations, morbidity, high cost, and scarring often associated with surgery. Here's Sherry Boschert with more on this trend.
The new endovenous laser fibers can be anywhere from 800 to 1400 nanometers in diameter. During the procedure, the dermatologist inserts the laser fiber, under duplex guidance, into either the long or short saphenous vein. This heats the vein, causing endothelial destruction, and dissolves the vein into the patient's body. Dr. Neil Sadik, a researcher and cosmetic dermatologist in New York, explained why this procedure is so appealing.
What's very nice about this procedure is that it's done in an outpatient setting. Patients go into support stockings for a week or two. They're able to usually resume normal activities within 24 to 48 hours. So there is no hospitalization, and it really is a minimal downtime procedure. In addition, the studies have shown that the long-term success rate in terms of recurrences is actually better than the older, more traditional surgical procedures.
Most cosmetic dermatologists are not yet offering endovenous treatment for leg veins, but Dr. Sadik says innovators in the specialty are leading the way.
It has changed the world of medicine, really, and dermatologists have been pioneers in leading this advance. We also help pioneer external lasers for treatment of lower extremity veins. There are many veins that are very tiny, which you cannot cannulate with a needle, and then there are some patients that are needle phobic that don't want to have, again, injection treatments or have multiple sclerosant allergies. The 1064 long-pulsed NDAG laser has been a major advance in treatment of very fine spider veins that you cannot get into with a sclerotherapy needle. Again, it usually takes 2 to 3 treatment sessions to clear a given area, but the results are actually quite excellent.
With external lasers, it's important not to retreat leg veins for 6 to 8 weeks.
Because you can induce some inflammation, and particularly on the legs because of upregulation of cytokines, you really want to wait till the inflammation calms down, which is usually 6 to 8 weeks before repeating the treatment sessions with the external laser.
Moving on to safety issues, an advisory panel of the Food and Drug Administration recently reviewed the iPledge program, which aims to minimize risks from isotretinoin. The panel agreed that while the program is working, there is room for improvement. We asked dermatologists in private practice to give us their evaluations of iPledge. Jeff Evans has the report.
Bronxville, New York dermatologist Neil Goldberg doesn't think that iPledge is helping to ensure the safe use of isotretinoin.
My take on the data is that they haven't decreased the number of pregnancies in females using Accutane, that there's no big difference between pre-iPledge 2006 and earlier and current post-iPledge or current iPledge use. And that's because you really can't get it down to zero ever with any program that involves just doing pregnancy tests. There's a known failure rate for all different forms of birth control. And you can never out-regulate that, and you can never make pregnancy impossible. And so the FDA has just chosen the most complicated way to do it.
But other dermatologists see value in the program, even if it is cumbersome. Here's Metairie, Louisiana dermatologist Jeffrey Poole.
In general, it does a good job on helping to impress upon the patients the seriousness of the potential pricing issues, and to prevent, and I think it is can be effective in helping to prevent pregnancies and
Dr. Robert Greenberg of San Ramon, California, agreed.
My personal opinion is that the iPledge program or a program similar to it is necessary if we can prevent any pregnancies while people are on isotretinoin. It is well worth it. It is not a perfect program, and I don't think you can design a program that would be perfect.
All the dermatologists we spoke to felt that it was unnecessary for the program to require the enrollment of male and female patients who cannot have children. And they all disliked the inability to override patient lockouts on the iPledge website. But dermatologists continue to participate in iPledge because they don't want isotretinoin to be taken away from patients, Dr. Poole explained.
It would be a terrible loss for us to ever lose this effective medicine. In fact, I generally tell my patients, I think besides the pregnancy issues, I think isotretinoin is essentially as safe as many of the antibiotics we use. But the difference is we can use isotretinoin for 5 months and have the chance for a cure versus many people on antibiotics for months and months or years, never getting the results, and probably having as much of potential serious side effects as isotretinoin.
Switching now to business matters, Dr. Joe Eastern has a New Year's resolution for dermatologists. Stop extending credit to patients. Heidi Spleet has the story.
Are you running a dermatology practice or a bank? Sometimes it's hard to know the difference, according to Dr. Joe Eastern, a dermatologist in Belleville, New Jersey, and a columnist for Skin and Allergy News. Dr. Eastern recently extolled the benefits of keeping patients' credit card information on file. Why? The patient-owed portion of most insurance charges is unknown at the time of service. That means the doctor has to send out a bill, which costs money, and then patients take forever to actually pay it. The solution? Keep patients' credit card information on file. Here's how. Each new patient gets a letter explaining that it is office policy to keep a credit card on file and to bill it for any outstanding balances. Most patients don't object, Dr. Eastern said, and you can't argue with the results. In the first year that Dr. Eastern employed this policy, his accounts receivable dropped by almost 50%.
Now, on to Cosmetic Counter. Mineral makeups are hot beauty products these days, but they're not right for everyone. Dr. Lily Talakoub gives us an overview and shares her patient care wisdom.
The newest facial foundation formulations are actually called mineral makeups. The mineral term in the word mineral makeup speaks to a formulation by which ingredients such as mica, zinc oxide, and titanium dioxide are ground into ultrafine powder and then applied to the skin with a wide, fluffy brush. These foundations contain the same pigments that are in regular pressed powders as well as liquid foundations. However, they're formulated in a loose powder formation. The powders are brushed over the face and they're easily brushed off. These properties, such as titanium dioxide and zinc oxide, have been found to have both anti-inflammatory properties, making mineral makeup something that is beneficial to people with rosacea or acne because of the purported calming effect on the skin. It is also popular because they have been found to have minerals in them that actually are sun protective factors. The zinc oxide and titanium dioxide is a sun protective factor and can be used as a SPF or sunscreen on the face. Some patients like using the mineral makeups because of the easy application. However, people that do have clogged pores or severe acne sometimes find that these minerals can get into the skin and block the pores and actually induce acne. I mostly tell my patients with severe acne that it's better for them not to use a powder and to stick to more non-comedogenic liquid foundations rather than the pressed or mineral powders. Patients that are older that have more fine etched in fine lines, they can actually have magnification of these lines as the powder sets into their fine lines. So mineral makeup has been widespread. It is very popular amongst all the topical makeups that people can use for both coverage as well as sunscreen. However, there have their pros and cons. People that do have significant inflammatory or comedonal acne may find that these products are actually more comedogenic. People that need sunscreens that don't find these agents to be comedogenic do find it beneficial to have an additional sunscreen in their makeup.
And now, from his office in Brookline, Massachusetts, Dr. Alan Rockoff shares why it's better to be honest when filling out your tax forms. You might just land a new patient.
I remembered that last year, Ron had taken on a second job as a real estate appraiser, and I asked him how it was going. "Really busy, Doc," he said. "Everybody wants the new low rates." "By the way, Ron, what's your main job?" "I'm in this town's tax assessor's office," he said. "Uh-oh," I said, "I guess that makes you the enemy." "Well, not really, Doc," he said. "That's actually how I got you as a doctor." "What?" I said, not having any idea what he was talking about. "You know that form you fill out every year," said Ron, "where you list the value of all your office equipment so we can assess your tax bill?" I remembered it all right. "Well," he continued, "I saw yours and decided you're honest." "I guess I'm flattered," I said, "but how could you tell?" "Look, Doc," said Ron, "I've been doing this for a lot of years, so I have a pretty good idea about what equipment offices have, and let's just say that a lot of what people tell us doesn't match up." I left the office that day with a good feeling and a whole new strategy. Take my advice, colleagues. Fill out your 1040s honestly this year. You could get a whole bunch of IRS agents as patients. This is Dr. Alan Rockoff, signing off.
Well, that's all for now. We'd like to thank this week's contributing reporters, Sherry Bosher, Jeff Evans, and Heidi Spleet. This podcast has been produced by Nassim Miller and Mary Ellen Schneider under the guidance of Skin and Allergy News Managing Editor Amy Pfeiffer. I'm Terry Rudd.
And I'm Carol Nicotero Ward. For more news and information, visit us online at skinandallergynews.com. And don't forget that we're on iTunes. Just search for The Skinny and subscribe for free.